Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I am in the wild and wacky world of the Expo here at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, Conscious Life Expo. And my goodness, there is so much commotion going on, so much activity going on. And so I'm expecting some guests, but with everything that's happening, I'm just going to move right ahead. In fact, I'm going to even open up the phone live. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. So we may have some guests that will be popping in, but other than that, it's just going to be you and me this afternoon, and we will take it in stride. We've got so many fascinating people here, and it's on all floors. I haven't seen this much action and activity in a long, long time, and it's just awesome. A film festival, a business symposium that's going on right now. There's just all kinds of wonderful activities that are occurring. So if you can come on out to this, just go to their website, consciouslife.com, and you'll be able to find out all kinds of information that's going on through Monday. So we are going to be here. And I am just excited and thrilled to be able to participate. Okay, let's get started with some information. I wanted to share with you some various details. You know that I am a real fan of reading. And, of course, with all of the authors that I interview and all of the interviews that I do with people from around the world, I always read their material before I have them on the air. And it has expanded my world dramatically, and it has expanded my understanding of so many things. But believe it or not, reading has not been something that has been encouraged by many individuals. And I know how important it is to me in my business. Well, the second National Endowment for the Arts study that had been done within the last 4 years found that Americans in general are reading for pleasure less and less. Reading for pleasure, less and less. The findings spanning fiction and nonfiction in books, magazines, newspapers, and online is really bad news, they said, for those invested in the reading business. But it's got a troubling side. People may say, gee, it's absolutely great that we don't have to worry about this, that, you know, we've got the internet, we've got all of these different forms of information. But they have found in their studies that people who don't read by choice are less likely to succeed at work and less likely to be involved in civic life. So reading is so very, very important. And it was encouraging with this report when this was released that sales at the bookstores are higher than ever before. You know, when I first came out with my children's book, they said at that time, my goodness, nobody's going to want to read books. They're all going to be on this little digital something or other that you'll carry in your hand, sort of like the size of an iPod. Now, this was a few years ago. It hasn't arrived yet. It's not really there. But they were talking about the electronic book. Well, we have it in different forms. But I'll tell you what, book sales are going through the ceiling. They're absolutely amazing. So even though the report is showing that a lot of people aren't reading, at the same time, book sales are escalating. Encourage your children to read. Read yourself. Books are like friends. You can carry them with you. Electronic books, they may eventually have something that's comfortable to read or work with. But I'll tell you what, there's something about holding a book in your hand that is just something that cannot be equaled. So a little bit of information on that. But high school graduates, they're really deficient as readers. 38% of employers that were interviewed said the reading skills of the people that they hired were very, very low. And I have found in talking with people in various job positionings that they don't feel that they need to have sharp reading skills. And consequently, they often miss a lot of details that they should not miss. So reading is something that is very, very important. And I'll tell you, moms and dads out there, if you can teach your children other languages when they're young so they can learn how to have a conversation in another language, to read in another language, write in another language, when you start them out young, it makes all the difference in the world. They absolutely will surpass so many others. It's just a real, real benefit. This is Donna Siebel, and I was expecting some guests. They have not yet arrived. Oh, here we go. We have a guest that has arrived, and it's Charles, I'm sorry. I have the wrong person. And Charles, I'm just going to ask you, if you will, just have a seat right there, and I'm going to let you take the microphone, and it's on there. And welcome, welcome. You made it up.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Fun energy here.
Fun energy. Oh,
yes, exciting,
it's exciting
energy.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes, it is.
It is just amazing. Everything has come together at the expo. Everything in the last minute looks absolutely magical, doesn't it?
Yes, and I'm just meeting all kinds of interesting people, too, into everything.
Yes, we've got all kinds of things. We've got people here that are talking about UFOs. There's people that are working with different types of products and services and working with energy healing, which is something that you yourself are involved with, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely. It's one of the most ancient of all things. It has to do with healing with music and light and sunshine and laughter and non-invasive techniques.
Non-invasive techniques.
Definitely.
Now, Charles, this is Charles Davis that I'm talking with, and he stopped by for a little bit of time to spend with me. Charles, with what you're doing, now you came in from Hawaii, is that correct?
Yes.
You hearty soul here. That's a long, long way to come in. But you've come into Hawaii, and you're a teacher.
Yes.
And you've been involved with this therapy with music and with light and with energy for so many years. What got you started in this?
Well, somebody asked me that question just a few minutes ago, and they asked me how long I was into it, and I said about 400 years, because I believe in reincarceration.
Well, now, wait a minute.
What?
Reincarceration?
Yeah, you got it right. But no, I think it started out in a medieval period, probably in an Irish monastery, that is to say, in Ireland,
mm-hmm.
and we were doing illuminations. You know what those are? Well, around the edges of beautiful Bibles, there are all those little tiny birds and written in gold and all that kind of stuff. And we used to sit in this, I don't know, place where we did illuminations, and we always used to hear the people down in, well, I don't know exactly the words, but like compline or something down in the other end of the church or
mm-hmm.
the other end,
mm-hmm.
end of the, and they would be singing this beautiful, like, Gregorian chant and stuff. When I began to feel the healing power of this
mm-hmm.
sound as it drifts around the building. And it would take me back into, because I'm always subject to having, like, visions going on, like daydreams or something, you
mm-hmm.
know, in my head. Back into Egypt, Egyptian times,
mm-hmm.
when there were the great big pillars in the temples, and there'd be light, harp music, and people singing like, ah. And it just had such a spiritual, sacred quality, it'd make your hair stand on end, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a part of what I believe the universe, God, whatever you might call it, has called me forth into this world again to re-enliven this whole idea of the sacred art, the spiritual art, the healing art,
mm-hmm.
end of music. And it's both ancient, and now it's sounding like it's brand new.
It is, and I've had the privilege of knowing different people that have gotten involved with musical therapy, and there are so many levels of it. And music is a universal language.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it touches. There was a gentleman downstairs, and he wasn't able to come up, but he does a didgeridoo. And he has a way of using his voice that when I listened to it was just amazing to me. And I thought, gee, if he can come up and he could be on the air with me, I would just absolutely love it. And then I heard about you, and I thought, wow, here are two men that are in similar modalities, but both expressing yourself so very, very differently. And he gave me a demonstration of music and sound and the effect on the physical self with the didgeridoo. And it was an amazing thing to be aware of, because there was like a frequency that was entering into the body. And the people that I've known that have worked with music, as you have, they have found different tones. Now, you use light. Do you use different colors? Because I know colors can make a difference.
Absolutely.
Now, tell me something. Since you've been doing this, and you have developed classes, and you're involved with this, what made you bring them together? How do you harmonize them with people? How do you know what to use with what individual?
Good question. Good question. Because I've worked in hospitals and rest homes.
Oh, you have?
As a nurse for many years. But I've also been a classically trained musician for many years.
Oh, my.
That at about 20 years ago, I sent up a few little prayers about how can I combine these two things, music and healing.
Mm-hmm.
And you want a little story?
Sure, I'd love to have a story.
Well, it came like this. Can it really work?
Mm-hmm.
Can this really help? And I set up a little prayer, and it went something like this. Okay, Charles, what you really need is to go get the sickest people you can find. The sick of the sick. It's not this person with a little toothache or having a divorce problem or
mm-hmm.
what have you. And well, how will I know if they're sick? Well, we'll let you know. The intuition, the inner tutor kind of was talking to me, or I'm talking to it, or something like that. It makes a round circle in my head, come full circle. But anyway, so I was standing in my landlady's kitchen. She was having a little brunch, and all of a sudden there was this lady, Mrs. Ling, I believe her name was, from Korea. And all of a sudden I knew, I had never met her before. We hadn't even been introduced.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden I knew that she had recently had a heart attack. And I said so. I said, you just had a heart attack, didn't you? And she kind of like popped her eyes up at me and
mm-hmm.
goes like, who are you? Well, she didn't ask me that question out loud. And then all of a sudden I could see her in the ambulance. She was pronounced dead in the ambulance. And I said, do they pronounce you dead in the ambulance? And this is about the time when the hair started to stand on end, because I don't know what I'm talking about. I was given this little gift of knowledge, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily my landlady walked in and she said, oh, this is Charles, and oh, this is Mrs. Ling, so forth. And I said, oh, this is what they meant. Find the sickest of the sick. I said, can I invite you over for a music therapy session? And she says to me, well, what is that? I said, well, I'm just going to have you kind of like lay down on the couch. I'm going to play some music for you and have it recorded. And you listen to it for just 20 minutes a day for 7 days. Well, she said, well, how much? I said, well, I have no idea. I said, well, just call it for free. I'm still learning my trade here. So anyway, she came over. And like I experienced many times now working with sick people, that is, she passed out. And I just continue to play the music, and she's, you know, snoring away. I go, oh, boy, this is great. But anyway, it's being recorded. And so she gets up after the session, it's not an hour, and she had a nice nap, and I felt good, and everybody felt good. Da, da, da. I handed the tape, asked her to do what I said, you know, 20 minutes
mm-hmm.
a day for 7 days. Okay, good. Bye, goodbye, and never see her again. But about 2 weeks later, she called me up, and she said, Charles, can I come over and see you? And I said, oh, certainly. And she came over, knock, knock, knock. She was a little tiny lady. I looked out the door, and there she was. She was just as white as a ghost. And I thought, oh, dear, what's wrong now? Anyway, I opened up the door. I said, hello, come on in. And she said, you know, I've just come from my cardiologist. And he says, there's not any scar tissue on my heart at all.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I know, as a nurse, you don't. Many a times you've had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Scar tissue never leaves, and so it was a remarkable first step into the ocean of learning about how music really works. Now, to really answer your question, having to do with how do you know what music works for
mm-hmm.
whom, I'll just simply say this: that you need to take the mind off of the body, that is to say, get their attention and move it away from the problem.
Very good point.
Right. And to start that, I usually start it with, like, the ocean, Mother Ocean. Maybe it's the sound that we heard when we were in our mommy's tummies.
Mm-hmm.
The shh.
Mm-hmm.
And it really relaxes people. Now, when people are relaxed, then you can start giving them other kinds of music, and you want to have it culturally bound. That is to say, I think if I were to play Chinese music for some of my people, it would absolutely irritate them. Or if I were to play rock and roll for my grandmother, she'd go, you're crazy. So you want to bring out something that's soothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after all of this is said and done, I must be honest and say this, that I all of a sudden began to perceive that there were other invisible entities in the room. That is to say, I believe in angels.
Mm-hmm.
And what I may be doing is merely setting up an atmosphere, which is to say something like a swimming pool, in which these other entities can stand. That is to say, my music provides a kind of harmony, a sounding harmony, that they can settle into while they do the work. Now, I'm not saying that all music therapy works this way, but I know that some of it does. And yet, like I said, too, I've worked in hospitals and rest homes. Sometimes I feel really on my own. But it has magical powers on Alzheimer's people. People that are caught back in, let's say,
mm-hmm.
in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
They don't remember anything that happened in the last 5 or 6 years. They're way back there looking for mama. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when you play Mary Had a, everybody knows where that's going to go. And I have learned through college, through understanding nursing degrees, that part of the brain that learns things with memory, that is to say, that part of the mind that works with memory, that works with rhythm and song,
mm-hmm.
is almost perfect memory. In fact, that's how the Iliad and the Odyssey and many parts of the Bible and scriptures around the world were remembered before they were ever written down. They were all memorized by people by a singing kind of chant. So back to Mary Had a Little Lamb. When you play this game of, do you know this song? Mary had a, oh, up comes the hands. And they can relate. That is to say, Alzheimer's patients can relate to those things, those songs that they learned as children, and it will bring them right out of their psychotic condition, right up from 1954 to bingo, 2008. And they'll look around, and they begin to act like grown-ups again. And it'll make your hair stand on end. The doctors and the nurses were crying. They couldn't believe. They go, how in the heck, Charles, could you do that? Well, it's just because I believed in this perfect memory that's
mm-hmm.
locked down there when we remembered A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You'll remember that when you can't even remember your own name. God forbid that should ever happen to any of us, but it does happen to some of us. That music, sound, and these kinds of things, these ideas, are highly effective on psychotic people, Alzheimer's people, and people with cancer. It really works
mm-hmm.
wonderfully because they need something they remember at the deepest levels of their being that they can relate to. And you can provide that as a music therapist. These kinds of sounds, these kinds of sweetnesses, these kinds of remembrances of home or childhood, and call them forth. Just call them forth. And they come right out of their psychotic condition up to present time. Some of them may not stay there, but repeated clinical work helps them to sustain their consciousness in present time.
Fascinating. There was so much done with the Greeks or by the Greeks with color, and the use of sound has been known in Tibetan culture for almost forever. You look at the Aborigines in Australia and their use of tone. You study the kahunas of Hawaii, it's the same thing there. They have their tones and they understand the use of energy. Here you are in this wonderful experience of your life. You've been a nurse. You have gone through practical application of this, Charles. You really have a passion for bringing wellness into people's lives through this wonderful medium of light and music. But I'm going to ask the question again. How do you know what to use with someone when it comes to culture? Your cultural point, I think, is a very good one. But when you talk about color, you know, certain cultural environments, that can have an effect too. So how is this adapted? Do you have your various pieces of color? What do you use? Certain colored light bulbs? I knew someone once years ago that's what he did. He special ordered certain light bulbs for certain responses to the body. How do you judge that? I mean, you're obviously very intuitive, and you've used that too, but how do you know?
Okay, that all depends on the situation, and I have to say this. It requires a developed intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Not only just love and compassion for another human being, but it requires a bit, let's say, call it 40 years of training at the piano.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when I send up a little prayer before I'm doing my work with people, what happens is I create a little silence in my head, just a kind of a blank spot,
mm-hmm.
and they, or the intuition, or some other power, sends me music. I hear it, just like a secretary taking dictation, and I can play it instantaneously. This is a slight magic key or something, but I hear music.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't work with light so much on the outside, although that is very helpful. I have I sent my boss screaming out of her mind because they asked me to take over what they call the Sunshine Group, which was 17 of the lowest functioning people all at once. You know, the prime of people that are caught in wheelchairs
goodness.
And just sit around and drool.
Yes.
Well, I said, give me room, and I'll do what I can. The long and the short of it is I painted the whole place bright eggshell yellow.
Eggshell yellow.
Oh, I mean, not eggshell, yolk.
Yolk. Okay.
Bright yellow. Sent my boss screaming. Nobody could believe what I was going to do. Then I began to paint around it, what do you call it, the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
and around the top of the wall, a beautiful ivy. You know,
the green, yeah.
Stencil it. And then butterflies, a few butterflies, a few hummingbirds, some wisteria, roses. I was beginning to learn a lot
mm-hmm.
about stenciling because I'm no really great artist. But back to color, I use guided meditation. And this is another one of my beliefs, but it's becoming well known in science now. Let me put it this way. There's a kind of fish that lives way down in the deepest dark part of the ocean. Something called an angler fish, and has this little appendage sticking off of its head, and
yes.
it has this little light it can turn on and off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That little ability, I believe, is natural to all human beings, and that little light, instead of dangling out of the head, is actually called the pineal gland, or the third eye. And we can use it to see light and create light inside of our own heads. Now, that's the light I try to direct via my words or ideas, like going for a walk by the ocean at sunset,
mm-hmm.
the orange clouds, the sea growing purple and green, the white foam. Now, these visions that they create, when a person is in a very relaxed mode, while I'm playing maybe ocean music or some Debussy or
mm-hmm.
something like that, this activates the pineal gland, which is sometimes called the master gland or the hormone, and it sits on top of all the other endocrine systems, the pineal, the pituitary, the thyroid, the hyperthyroid, the gonads, the adrenals, all of these have a little tiny drop of this kind of hormone. A little tiny drop of adrenaline can send you with
mm-hmm.
magical powers. To activate that allows the body to activate these hormones that trigger cycles of regeneration. That is the secret to turning on the ability to work with light on the inside of the head. Not light as a metaphor, but light as a reality. And whether we do it through the imagination, which is second cousin to the pineal, or actually trigger the pineal into coming back into light.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly the gold white light, that ability to focus light energy. And people that are working with cancer, now I give them what I call a laser gun in their imagination. And we fire the laser gun, and I use my synthesizer, to help sustain and build up this thought form through their meditation
mm-hmm.
while I'm guiding them. And they focus their laser gun on, I don't name it by cancer, but I name it the dark shadows, the darkness. And they fire their laser gun into those dark places where the cancer maybe have infested them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, your hair will stand on end when you see these people working with it. They not only want to, they somehow, the cancer has evoked this, they will try the most tremendous strength of doing this. Doctors and nurses will stand around and watch these patients use their laser guns, watch them change from victims into heroes working with light in hospitals and restrooms. And I must say, it doesn't work all the time, but it works enough to scare the medical profession. They said to me, Charles, we don't have medicine in this world as powerful as what you're doing. And I said, I'm only trying to remember what most of us forgot or knew maybe a thousand years ago.
It's a fascinating positioning to be in when you are working on a regular basis, as you are with the medical profession. And so much of what they've been taught, they say this is so far out of the box, they don't know what to do with it. They have a very challenging time with it. How are you finding people in the medical profession once they become aware of what you're doing? Do they have a sense of relief, or does it create a complexity for them that they really don't want to look at?
Well, it's usually pretty simple, and I'll put it this way. It's because they don't have to insure me, like a massage therapist or an acupuncturist. They don't have to pay me. I mean, hardly anything to do this. They love that. And then when they see the results, and by the way, I must say that most doctors that I know of and most nurses, although they're way overworked, are very spiritual beings.
They really care down deep. They really care.
And more than that, they believe, most of them, in love. That is to say, the healing powers of love. I have talked to many doctors that believe that somehow their love towards people actually does help. Now, they get no confirmation from the medical field, nor extra pay for putting their arms around a patient or crying with them about something that's happened in their life. But again, this is where they see me in action. They see light in action. They see color going onto the walls. They see fun. They see touching people. Right? And then there's another end to this, too. I also work with music in allowing people to, let's call it, die. People in transition. And again, with cancers or tumors or various things, and this has been on film, too. Let's say, this one lady, she was probably about 85 years old, cancer. She'd have been about 3 days in a coma. You could have dropped a brick on her foot. She would have never known it. But I put the headphones on her and started playing music. And I must say, it had to do with a little like Old Rugged Cross and Amazing Grace, which was, you know, but that's, when I hear it on the inside, that's what I play out here. She darn near levitated off the bed.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, she darn near did. Her hands came up. She looked like those pictures of the beatific saints. She was seeing the other side. You could tell it. Practically the golden rays were coming right off her body, and her hands were reaching up. She was going into another world. Not that I, God forbid, my music should kill her on the spot, but she was having a vision of heaven.
Well, it enabled her to make the transition.
Yes.
And
yes.
When you study many of the cultures of the past, so often they're called primitive cultures. But the reality is that they had an understanding, not unlike the Tibetans and the Aborigine, that the sound and the music, that harmonic, it's almost like a celebration. You have finished your life on this earth, and we want you to be able to make your transition as comfortably and easily as possible. So they use the wonderful, wonderful tones of music, and sometimes they're very, very low. You know, you think of the tones of Amazing Grace, they're not high. They're lower tones, they're richer tones, mellow tones, and other music, and you have that, and it helps to release. And I think that that is something that's becoming more and more accepted in many environments. I was with a person when they were dying from a very, very distressful level of an illness. And when the music was played that I brought into them, I had done something. I'm not as proficient in the sense as you are, as experienced.
I'm just a beginner, really, even though I have a degree in it.
Oh, and I watched her face, and it was wonderful because it was beautiful music. And I think that that makes such a difference. Well, you know, Charles, this has been a delight. We're going to go on a break. Would you like to stay for a few more minutes?
Sure, if you'd like.
Oh, I would be delighted.
Something just came through, an idea in my head.
Yes.
That if there are other musicians, people that play a harp or chant, guitar, flute players, violinists, if any of you would like to volunteer and come to a hospice center, an old folks home, any of this, not to play necessarily for dying people, but to play for elderly or sick people. Please listen to what I've got to say. You're needed, and music is needed. Music does have healing powers. And there's a whole world of possibilities awaiting musicians.
Let's stop right there, because we'll continue on that thought pattern, okay?
Okay.
We're going to take a
Great.
Break for just a couple of minutes.
Terrific.
And when we come back, this is Donna Sebo broadcasting live from Conscious Life Expo here at the Los Angeles Hilton. And we're going to be coming back and talking with Charles Davis, who is in from Hawaii and is a part of this wonderful event, as there are many thousands of people, actually, that are already here. So we will be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Donna Sebo here. Don't go away.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. We're coming back with Charles Davis, and we're talking about color, music, therapy that enables people to be well. But, Charles, let's continue what you were talking about, hospice work, because I think that that is so special. And in earlier times, I would say that dealing with death, you know, people were laid out in the living room and people pretty much realize this was just a part of life, and now we've gone through a cycle of life experience where there's been this tremendous separation. And now we seem to be coming back into an awareness that we want to be able to help people make their transitions comfortably. And you were talking about musicians volunteering time at hospice, and I think that is a wonderful thing. And they don't have to be in with the sick people. It's just creating this wonderful musical environment. So address that a little bit more.
Yeah, musicians not just being in with dying people, but that's a wonderful experience. If you've ever been around a birth,
mm-hmm.
there's a magic there. It's a sacred time, and you know it. Same thing about death. Because
mm-hmm.
a nurse for 30-plus years, it's a sacred time.
It really is.
It is. And it can be a secret, joyous time.
Mm-hmm.
It can. Because death is not really what, it's all not knocked up to what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the end, it's just another beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're close enough in on that to be, let's call it, emotionally uninvolved, you can get the spirit of it. Because they're moving on to a new place, and it's wonderful. And I'm thinking at the moment, belly dancers, the power that belly dancers can bring into a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Belly dancing healers.
Mm-hmm.
Guitar
healers.
Well, I'm
sure there's a few that would enjoy that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the old ladies at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the vitality of young people, the vitality of dancers, the vitality of poets, the vitality of guitarists singing their love songs around people.
Mm-hmm.
Again, people that are sometimes sick. Just the medicine that was needed. Just, and it could be a wonderful experience for the musicians, for the artists, for the poets, for the dancers, to get involved in their community, around, right around, close to where they live. They don't have to go very far to find a place to be of service with their compositions and their ideas and their fun. And I'm thinking, a little candle is awfully conspicuous in a dark room. And it's a joy to be a little candle sometimes.
It is.
Yeah.
And I do think music makes such a difference. There was a family that I had a wonderful opportunity to interact with, and their mother was quite elderly. She was in her 90s. She had like 6 children, and they were all with her at the time she was passing. And it was 5 daughters and 1 son. And the daughters had the most incredible experience. They all were so close to her, and they didn't want her to go. And so it was a real tough time. And then finally, they made it all right, and they did have some music. And they went into their mother, and they said, you know, we know you're staying here because of us, and it's time for you to go. And they were able to see her transformation right there. All of them wide awake. None of them were on anything. Their eyes just got as big as saucers. She said, we were all standing around her bed, and they saw her mother, their mother, leave. And then they saw her transform right in front of their eyes into the young woman that she had once been.
Oh, what a blessing for them.
It was an incredible experience.
Yes.
And I'm standing in an elevator talking to these women, you know, loaded up because I was doing an appearance in. We're just talking like this. It's like saying, what are you going to have for breakfast? Oh, ham and eggs. You know? We're talking about this experience. And they had written a book about it. But they said it changed them so much. And they were so glad that they were with her. And I think it's one of the reasons when there comes that period in a time's life when family knows that someone is going to be making their exit from this experience. And they say, I've got to get there. You know, there's this sense of urgency. And when you can be there and you can share it, and sometimes you can't, but when you can, and you can use music or have color, like you were saying, you know, you painted a room and you did different things, even if you bring in flowers or you bring in something that's got a beautiful scarf or a stuffed animal. I mean, I've seen all kinds of demonstrations like this. It touches them in a way, and it's joyful. It really is joyful. It means a lot to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It can be a magical experience. And we know so little. I've written a book called The Handbook to the Other Side. It's about what happens to you when you die.
Mm-hmm.
And about these special kinds of experiences that a person can have That is, say, like my grandmother is dying, or to gather around. And sometimes you will see grandpa from the other side who's been gone 20 years
mm-hmm.
shows up too.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just gives you a wink and a nod. And the next thing you know,
they're
grandma's gone.
Yes.
And it is magical, and it's a part of life. It's always been going on from the day one, as long as there's been people dying. And it's a part of life, and it's not to be covered over in mystery and all sadness, that it is not a big break. I think it's one of the most powerful things that's happening right now in the New Age experience, is this ability to make contact with the other side, the ability not to be afraid of death. That is to say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that there's not going to be any death, but it's losing its sting. We're not becoming so afraid of it anymore. And scientists are beginning to investigate it and want to find something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And once they science begin to believe in something like spirit and soul and its survival beyond the physical body, well, we're going to be off to a whole new level here.
Isn't
maybe
it amazing?
A whole new science.
When you think of Edgar Cayce, mm-hmm. and it wasn't that long ago, and here was a man that encountered all kinds of negativity, and look at how comfortable. We have to thank people like him because they opened doors. Ruth Montgomery, Gina Seminara, there are so many wonderful people that went before us and said, hey, like Thelma Moss, I'm a scientist, I'm a researcher, this is what I've found, this is what I've discovered, and we stand on the shoulders of the people that go before us. And that's, you know, what we're talking about today.
True.
Because here you are in a world that 30 years ago, you would have been not stoned, but pretty darn close to it. People would have ostracized you terribly. And now it's so easy. It's almost as if you can, when you mention it, people say, oh, please tell me more. I want to know more. They're not afraid. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience to have. So how fortunate a man you are after being a nurse for so many years, and you're still involved in this, and you're still doing your thing. What's your next big project, Charles?
Well, I'm, let's call it, arriving in Seattle to start. Seattle. No, I came from Seattle. I stand on the back of Dr. Ida Rose Barber, who did 35 years of research having to do with past life research.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with her for the last 12 years of life. And I made the full circle from Sedona, where that
mm-hmm.
Asarius was,
mm-hmm.
and I knew him, but I hadn't met him. He was right across from you,
uh-huh.
making that beautiful sound.
Yes.
He's a sound therapist as well.
Yes, he is.
So the sound therapists, music therapists, color therapists, poetry therapists, they're starting to arrive, I think.
Yes, they
and
are.
And that's what I'm here, to start opening up this whole idea with other students, with
mm-hmm.
other musicians. And the bottom line is, what works, works.
That's true.
Yeah. And we're going to, like, remember how acupuncture 25 years ago was treated?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the medical profession.
Oh, it was horrid.
And now they've got insurance for the whole thing. And it's wonderful. And when you have techniques that are really, truly non-invasive, like color, yellow color on the wall instead of drab old white or dirty white,
mm-hmm.
which walls can, when you start putting butterflies and lemon trees and painting murals and allow children's energy to get mixed up in rest homes and the hospital. Well, you're getting into things, again, that are magical, cost-effective, and wonderful. Things that we knew hundreds of years ago, but now, well, we're getting around to it again, and that's my whole point.
It is.
That's why I'm here in L.A.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Charles, thank you so much for coming up and spending
thank
time
you.
With me. It's
thank
been
you.
A delight. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Now, Charles, I would like for you to let people know if you have a website, if they wanted to get in touch with you, or any courses that you might offer. Tell them where they can go to find out more about you.
Well, I'm going to be setting up a website, and it's going to be called The One Foundation.
Okay.
And it's all back to the idea about sound. In the beginning was the
mm-hmm.
word, or the sound, and everything is held together by sound. The whole universe is sounding itself forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a musical symphony. It's been likened unto many, the great poetry of stars. It's all sounding itself. And it's going to be called The One Foundation. They'll be able to find me there. And I don't know if you want me to give my phone number, but I can give you my phone
if
number.
If you want to, that's fine.
Sure.
I don't mind.
Here in L.A. at 310 270-3928, and I'm starting my service of work. And I let you know, I am a student, and I am a student with a lot of questions. And if you're a student with a lot of questions, well, I'm just the right character to meet, because I'm starting to know this works.
Well, Charles, I know it works because of the many people that I've met over the years, and I'm so pleased that you had the chance to come and be on the air with me today.
It's been a delight.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. Don't go away. We'll be back to give you some more information.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, we've got a few minutes left here. The telephone lines are open if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Those of you that are in Canada, 888-815-9756. Now, I wanted to bring up a point that Charles was talking about relative to color, but before I do, I want to mention to those of you who are in the Los Angeles area who are listening to this broadcast, we are here the 8th through the 11th. The expo opened officially at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and I'm going to be going down to my booth. My booth number has been changed. It's now 539, but we're at 5711 Century Park Boulevard, or Century Boulevard, excuse me, here in Los Angeles, and you can go to ConsciousLifeExpo.com, and you'll find out all kinds of information. The business symposium is going on today. They've got yoga classes. They've got all kinds of things that are happening. For those of you that are up in Washington, I'm going to be attending and speaking daily at the Psychic Spectrum Expo. That is being held at the Hilton across from SeaTac. And when you want to check with them, all you have to do is to go to psychicspectrum.com. That's their website. Or you can go to thespectrumevents.com, and you can get information on this wonderful upcoming event, which is going to be occurring the 22nd of February through the 24th. So you can go to their website, get all kinds of information. We've got products, services, you name it, it's going to be there. I am going to be speaking, and my booth number is number 117, and we will be doing a live broadcast on site that Friday afternoon, the 22nd, not unlike today. So we should be having some real interesting conversations with people that are attending. I wanted to, again, mention the number if you want to call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Now, when it comes to color, I had some very, very special experiences a few years back when I was working for a color processing company. And there was this marvelous photographic artist. His name was Joey Fisher. Joey had a magic when it came to taking pictures of nature that were just phenomenal. And there was a hospital that he contracted with that was in the California area. I was living in California at the time. And they had Joey put together a mosaic of his photographs. And they were able to build a window with this. When it was installed, after the work had been done, of course everything was covered up during the process, so nobody knew what was happening. But when it was installed, and finally, when the day came, and it was two stories high, let me add that, it was a two-story high photographic mosaic of nature, all Joey's work. When they unveiled that, patients came out of their hospital rooms just in awe because this rainbow of color just exploded and filled the walls of the hospital with the sun's light coming through. And there was a play of colors that just illuminated everything. It was so incredible. And this was a few years back. And here we had Charles today talking about this wonderful therapy that he's been working with. We have come such a long, long way. And we're going to be coming even, as he said, further. Because as we are able to communicate this information without of what I call the woo-woo special, it just makes all the difference in the world. So the more we become educated, and remember when I started the show, I said we were dealing with reading, people not being able to read, people not doing very well, high school students being deficient in it. When we can read, when we can communicate, when we can express an understanding about these wonderful paradigms that are available to us to make our lives healthier, to make our lives richer, and to make us as human beings make our potential just explode, it is wonderful. And so I'm just so glad you've been able to join me today. It has been such a pleasure to be able to share Charles with you, and the other individuals that I had hoped were going to be here, they just ended up getting swamped, so we weren't able to have them in. But it is just such a joy every day to be able to share with you different people, different modalities of thought, different perspectives, because it can empower us in wonderful, wonderful ways if we'll just be open and receptive to it. Remember, there's just no one way of doing everything. It's sort of like fixing a pot roast. You can do it 1,001 different ways. But if you don't know that you can do it, you maybe will only do something one way because that's the best you've got at the moment. But as soon as you start growing and expanding, as soon as you start asking questions, you, like Charles and myself, will realize that you're forever the student. You never, ever get there. There's always a process of learning along the way. And that is what makes life an adventure. That's what makes the world an exciting place to be a part of. So whatever you do, wherever you go, however you're going to be occupying your time, look at this world and look at your experience as something that is going to make a transformational shift for you. And maybe in a magical way you never, ever would have expected. You would never in a million years have imagined. That's what the show is all about. Perhaps we'll be able to touch your lives in such a way that you'll recognize that there's something utterly magical about you, and that magic is really needed by everybody in this world that you come in contact with. This is Donna Sebo. I am going to be back at home in studio on Monday. If you should need to reach me for any reason, do call my office at 800-872-8852. And quick like a bunny, let me see if I can give out some Chinese astrological information. We've got a little bit of time left here. Let's go to the sign of the rabbit. Now, for those of you that are under the sign of rabbit, you could be born the year 1927, 39, 51, 63, 75, 87, or 1999. What happens when you're a rabbit? Well, not only are you cute and adorable, but you have a knack for making money. You're a natural peacemaker, and you generously lend a hand wherever it might be needed, and you fiercely protect those that you love. This year, you've got magic. Yes, you've got magic. If you were born under the sign of the rabbit, you have gotten the opportunity, well, to get yourself out of any rut you might be in and reinvent yourself in some wonderful new ways. So don't be afraid to try something new. For those of you under the sign of the rabbit, you've got it made. This is Donna Sebo. I'm going to say goodbye for now. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And I hope to see some of you here at the expo this weekend, because I'm going to be here and I'm going to be speaking this evening, and it will be in the Catalina Room. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now. Have a fabulous, fabulous weekend.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.